Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this PeopleYouShouldMeet.com teleseminar called How to Connect with Your Deep Intuitive Knowing. My name is Damien Sen, and I will be your host for this evening. And in a very short moment from now, I'll also be welcoming our very special guest to the call, Darren Eden. Now, before I do that, I just wanted to take a few moments up front to let you know how this evening's call will work. Now, we've, over the course of the week, have promoted the call to my subscriber list, and we've had a whole series of questions that have come in through the website. Now, this call is going to be a little bit different in the way that we tackle the questions. Darren's actually got a phenomenal five-step process that he takes people through to help them actually access their intuition. And the good thing about it is that this process actually pretty much incorporated most of the questions that they came through the site. So really do pay attention to the five different points, and I have no doubt that you will find some very rich and fertile material there, and also no doubt your question will be answered in some shape or form. Now, I've only known Darren for a little while, but he was introduced through a very good friend of mine, Bruce Music, who I've also interviewed through this PeopleYouShouldMeet.com series. And whenever Bruce gives me a heads up about anything, like I automatically just spring to attention and become very, very alert. And anyway, I had a chat to Darren on the phone and was really quite happy to hear another Australian accent. It's been probably been a little while since I've heard one. And yeah, we've sort of kept in touch over the last couple of months as Darren sort of moved into the UK and started to establish himself over here. Now, Darren spent the last 10 years of his life digging deep into the whole world of intuition and has had the great privilege of standing in front of thousands of people over the last 10 years. And it's with great pleasure that I welcome to the call Darren Eden. How are you going there, Darren? Okay, Darren, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Sorry, we couldn't hear you there.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Terrific.
Okay.
Welcome to the call. Well, you could hear me before?
I could hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. But welcome to the call.
Thanks, mate. So I'll just assume that everything I just said wasn't heard by anyone. other than it's just great to be here. I'm just really privileged and honoured to, and it's the first time I've ever had this opportunity, you know, to be sitting in my home. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just the you know, mark of the time we live. Sitting here in my home, talking to, you know, 100-odd people around the world, it's such a privilege.
Yeah.
And I just really want to honour everyone and thank everyone for taking the time out as well, you know, because intuition to me is a subject worth taking the time out for. You know, it's there's so much richness and gold to be had that lives inside every one of us, you know. So I really honour everyone for doing that.
Brilliant. Now, intuition is certainly one of my favourite topics, and I could literally spend hours talking about it and philosophising about it and also listening to people teach on the subject. But just to kick us off, Darren, I was just wondering if you could actually describe your own interpretation of what intuition really is.
Sure, I'd love to. Whenever I'm asked that question, I always take a step back and say that everything that I have learnt and everything that I teach is built on what I call premises. And premises are just assumptions that you act as if are true. You just assume something and you just assume that it's true and act as if it's true, you know. And the example I use for that is that, you know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 300-400 years ago, when everyone on the planet assumed or had worked with the premise that the world was flat. And so then everyone acted as such, and then that created certain end results, affected certain behaviours. And then that premise was tested, and then suddenly we discovered that, hey, we've got a new premise, the world's round. And so suddenly that impacts on the end results that we can create, you know. And that's why I love premises so much, because premises help you create end results. And once you start getting into intuition, that's all intuition cares about, is helping you create end results in your life, but especially end results that are aligned with your heart and end results that you love. So I just have to frame that up first and foremost, that's all I work with, you know. And I don't even know whether these premises are true, you know. But I just act as if they're true because they work for me. And the thing with premises, as soon as you come across a better premise, you can just drop the old one and go with a new one, just like the whole concept with the world being flat versus round, you know. So that being said, I work with the premise that each and every one of us has two aspects to ourselves. The first aspect is who we really are. And who we really are, as a premise, is where each and every one of us were divine, magnificent beings. And as such, we're all intuitive. And as divine, magnificent beings, we're all connected to everything in all time and space. And I'm sure that's not new to anyone. I love the fact that how that's pretty much accepted in this day and age for the most part, you know. And as divine beings, we communicate to one another through our intuition. It's our inherent, it's our natural way of connecting and communicating with one another. And the other side of the coin is that we're also human beings. We're divine beings and we're human beings. And our humanity, I say, is kind of created by an identity that we formed. And that identity was formed by unconscious beliefs and assumptions that we formed in childhood. And out of those unconscious beliefs, we've formed strategies. And then as a result of those playing those strategies out, they kind of bubble up in our minds, thoughts and feelings, thoughts and emotions and that sort of thing. And so essentially then, this human aspect of ourselves, our identity, communicates through thoughts and feelings. So that's the first thing to establish, that we're all divine, magnificent beings, and as divine, magnificent beings, we are all intuitive, every single one of us, not just women more than men, you know, that's an urban myth just right there. We're all divine beings, we're all intuitive, but we're also human beings. And the way that we communicate as divine beings is through our intuition, and the way we communicate as within our identity, within our human self, is through our thoughts and feelings. And the thing is, the way we're constructed, the way it all comes together, is that it just so happens that our thoughts and feelings are a lot louder than our intuition. And we don't tend to hear our intuition as easily and as effortlessly as we do our thoughts and feelings. And so that's the thing to lay down. You know, that's how I define intuition. It's how we inherently communicate as the divine beings that we really are. You know,
that's great.
So
we're very interested to hear there's a level playing field between the sexes. So it isn't just only women's intuition. It's also the men out there in the world have this beautiful resource available to them as well.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Excellent. Now, Darren, I was just wondering, have you always been someone who's been really well guided by their intuition, or is it something that you stumbled over and I suppose went deeper into?
That's a very good question, because before I started, you know, learning this intuitive process, you know, back in 1998, I honestly didn't believe I had an intuitive bone in my body. I was a very intellectual and also a very emotional person. And honestly, it just didn't enter my head at all that I could be intuitive. And it wasn't until I literally learnt, you know, what has now been distilled down into these five steps, which is to me is like a magic formula. And then when I put that into play, my intuition comes through every time. So it is something that I have learnt, and having learnt it the first time, I just realised how amazing it was and how magical it was, that I've just decided to devote my life to the mastery of it, you know, since then. And as a result, the rewards that it's reaped for me and others has just been astounding.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely something that's been developed.
Yeah. That's refreshing to hear as well. Now,
yeah.
Just wondering if you could actually go into a little bit more detail, and just in terms of like your life before really stepping in and accessing your intuition and your life afterwards? How has it changed?
Well, you know, on the surface, my life wasn't too bad beforehand. You know, like just before I did my first training in intuition, which was actually a year-long course that I did with William Whitecloud. Bless you, whoever's snoozing. Back in 1998. Prior to that, you know, at the time I was working as a, I had a very successful career as a change management consultant in the IT industry. You know, I was married to the person who I thought, you know, was my dream wife. I had a great apartment, great lifestyle in the lower north shore of Sydney, right on Sydney Harbour. And if you've been to Sydney, you know, it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I'd done heaps of other personal development workshops as well. I had the opportunity to promote Robert Kiyosaki, who many people know these days as the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad. I was promoting him in Sydney for a couple of years prior to that as well. And as such, I had access to, you know, the leading personal development that was available in Sydney at the time. This was back in the early 90s. And so on the surface, my life was great. But the thing was, is that I was just slowly dying inside, you know. There was something in me that just wasn't fulfilled, despite all the personal development work that I'd done, despite the successful career, despite the marriage, despite the lifestyle. There was still something missing for me, you know. I felt like even after all that time, I'd spent 10 years doing different workshops and trainings and stuff, I felt like I was still searching for something. And literally when I just came to a point in my life, as it often tends to happen, where I just went, look, I've had enough of all this, I just want to live my life, this guy William Whitecard falls in my lap, literally, you know. And
I was going to say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if the student doesn't think he's ready. it was amazing because he ended up doing an intuitive reading on my wife at the time before I'd even met him. And he was able to tune into aspects of me that I had only scratched the scratch of after 10 years of personal development work. And I just literally went, who the hell is that guy? I used, you know, a more colourful word at the time. But I ended up having an intuitive session with him, and it just blew my mind what he was able to reveal about, you know, my divinity and my humanity, you know. And I went and did this course with him, and basically the essence of it was, you know, the mastery of your intuition, and through that, then the discovery of the things that you love, that your heart really loves. And I did that the first year, and then I loved it so much, I did it again. And after the second year, we decided to go into business together. But in those first 2 years, I basically realized that my marriage wasn't true to my heart. And we very graciously and lovingly decided to separate, and also realised that the corporate life wasn't for me. And so it was just a process of both letting things go that I knew wasn't true for me, because I was developing my intuition more and more, and I was having a deeper awareness of what was really true for me and what I loved. And then it was a process of going down that path, even though sometimes I didn't have a clue what was going on rationally. And then things just started revealing themselves, you know, like this. William and I joined forces, went into business together at the beginning of 2000, which was a magical thing. It was not something that we planned. And just through that, just the magic that's happened through our relationship, the things we've taught each other, the modality that we've developed, the people's lives that we've impacted, you know, it's just amazing to have that level of purpose and vocation in my life. It's just been astounding. And and then also through my intuition, I've literally attracted and created my soulmate to me. You know, one thing I always just say in my workshops, you know, I run a 3-day workshop called The Initiation now, and I tell this story of how before I started developing my intuition, that I used to chase women and they would run. I was a very needy kind of love me, please love me kind of a guy, you know. And whereas when I developed my intuition, I started to develop my own inner power, and even had a period of time where, you know, it didn't matter whether I was in a relationship or not. And then magically, my soulmate just literally turns up on my door one day. And because I developed my intuition enough to know, who she was, I recognized her, And,
wow.
Instantaneously. And then from there, it's just built up momentum. We moved from Sydney to Byron. We completely changed my life. Byron Bay is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. A lot of people travel all around the world to. It's not even a city, it's a town. It's the most easterly town in Australia, and a beautiful community of artistic, creative, alternative people, And it just kind of just got better and better, for the most part, because I've been predominantly listening to my intuition. And then because Joanna, my wife, my soulmate, is English, just after we got together, I just knew that there'd come a time when I'd be moving to the UK, and it basically presented itself intuitively at the end of last year, and basically followed it, and here I am, So that's the abridged version of the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly resonated with what you were saying about the finding yourself in the corporate world and I guess playing with all the trappings of what we've been sold as what a successful life should look like. I know being in that space, there is a, like in my own life, there is a real emptiness to actually get there and think that this is what being successful is all about, and then actually realizing that there's a, this is not what it's about at all. And for me, sort of turning my back on that world and following my intuition, and like so many people that I have met that have found themselves doing something similar, where they've moved away from things that they think they should desire into really focusing and bringing about the things that they truly love. And it was just really lovely just to hear it in your own words and to hear you describe your process.
Yeah, it's been a magical time.
Yeah. Now, Darren, you've worked with thousands of students over the last 10 years, and
yep.
I was just wondering if you could share some of the breakthroughs that you've been able to witness through your work.
Oh, God. We've only got an hour. Less than an hour now. It's just been just some amazing stuff. Like there's, women who have come to me and they've done the work in their late 30s. There's one woman who comes to mind immediately is in her late 30s, virtually suicidal, just breaking up from a partner. She's just found out that she was infertile, couldn't have a child, wanted that more than anything else. And, through the process of accessing her intuition and getting in touch with her heart and what she loves and this latent power, she literally, within 12 months, creates a true love, gets pregnant when all the doctors said she shouldn't, and there's literally, and she was also she was a graphic designer, but she really loved art, but didn't feel that she could express that. And then, she also started bringing her art into the world as well, It's like it's what you find when you develop your intuition is this kind of synergistic, symbiotic process, not where one part of your life gets developed in a linear fashion. Everything kind of comes together in this magical spiral. So that's one example, there's, recently there's a guy that's worked both with me and William over the last couple of years who was a property developer. And the thing with, and I'm sure if anyone's been in property development, they could appreciate this, that where he could make millions of dollars, but then he couldn't hold on to it. He'd lose the millions and more that he made, And just through the process of developing his intuition, sometimes your intuition doesn't tell you what you rationally think you should know. Like rationally he's going, well, I have to spend more time in my business. It's working with us, we've gone, well, you've got to develop what you really love and what's in your heart. And, you love your family. You've got to take time out to surf and enjoy yourself and factor that all in with your business, And then he started doing that. And in 1 minute, his business was bankrupt. And a week later, a fund manager had approached him out of nowhere and offered him $10 million to invest in his business,
Wow.
Just things like that. You just go, where did that come from?
Amazing.
But my favourite actually is a guy who was this knockabout Aussie bloke. You know, for any Australians out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He was an engineer for a petrochemical company, and he actually had blackouts, and so he couldn't drive, and he had to live close to his work. Very fear-based guy, you know, and just through the course of developing his own intuition, he realised that he's actually an innovative genius, and that he could combine his engineering expertise with this innovative, intuitive genius that he has. And so instead of just kind of following rote formulas that engineers quite often have to follow, you know, processes and procedures and structures and stuff, he started going to his intuition and coming up with these inventions. Like, he came up with this invention of how to pump water from a dam in a farm without needing electricity, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Because if you live out in the farm, you know that, you know, getting electricity, you know, hundreds of acres out in the middle of nowhere can be tough.
Mm.
And through that process, he's also created his own soulmate. He's moved and created his farm in the country. And a big part of what he loved was self-generation and self-sustainability. And so he started creating all these different inventions based on self-sustainability. And within a year, he was doing consulting to engineering companies all around the Asia Pacific area, combining his expertise and his innovative genius. You know, it's just astounding the difference in how his life transformed from being terrified, can't drive because he's having blackouts, to being this kind of, you know, consultant who travels around the whole region sharing his ingenuity. But what I love about it is that he's still the same knockabout Aussie bloke at the end of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some three examples. And with all due respect, it's pretty typical of those people, you know, who grab hold of it and run with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it certainly draws back to the point you made earlier on about the fact that we're all divine beings, and I guess by creating processes that guide people back to their own divinity is really quite something.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it.
Now, Darren, love, we spoke a little earlier about the 5-step process,
yeah.
And
so
yeah, thought now would be a
what are these 5 steps?
What are these 5 steps?
So you want to know?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
You want to know? Well, that's next week's conference call. You just So basically, what I'd like to do is just go through each of these 5 steps, and I really recommend if you've got a pen and paper, just start to make a note of them, because one of the choices I have for everyone is that they can actually take each of these steps away with them and practice it. Because that's the thing with intuition, is that you don't experience its magic unless you put it into practice. And these 5 steps really are like a magical formula that literally take you from orientating from your identity and your thoughts and feelings to orientating from your soul. You know, if anything, I see it as it's like a shamanic process where you're moving from one realm of existence to another. You know, it's like you're moving from the rational world into the magical world. You know, that's what shamans do in indigenous cultures, and they gain wisdom and insight from that world and they bring it back. And that's what this process sets up, you know.
Mm.
So having said that, the first step is to, just imagine you're about to sit down with the purpose of connecting with your intuition. The first step is to acknowledge your thoughts and feelings. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time about what I mean by that. And the first thing, there's a premise that's attached to acknowledging your thoughts and feelings. And to me, it's a very powerful premise. And that is, you have to assume that your thoughts and feelings are not real. And that can blow some people's minds away. I know it did me the first time I heard it, so I went, oh, my thoughts and feelings aren't real. It's like, I am my thoughts and feelings, you know. but it comes back to that initial premise that our thoughts and feelings come from our identity. They don't come from our soul. And, you know, when I, for now, you're just going to have to take me on that. You know, when I lead my 3-day workshop, the initiation, I go into great depth and explore that premise that thoughts and feelings aren't real, and people really get to experience that as a reality, you know. But even if you can just accept that for a moment, just take on that premise for a moment that your thoughts and feelings aren't real, that's very powerful, because when you start the process of connecting to your intuition, you always assume that you're in your identity because you've been running your thoughts and feelings, you know. Like some people in the questions have been going, you know, how do you access your intuition when you're really busy, or, you know, when your emotions are flared and your thoughts are going like crazy? Well, the first thing you do is to acknowledge whatever's going on for you, you know. Acknowledge whatever thoughts are going on for you, acknowledge whatever emotions or feelings you're having. And when you can acknowledge that they're not real, you're not going to be sucked into them, you know, particularly emotions. It's so easy to get sucked into emotions, you know, like depression, fear, anger, which are the three core emotions. The truth is, they're not real. I can tell you straight away that depression is fundamentally sourced from a worth belief, or this unconscious belief that you're not lovable. Fear comes from the core belief that you're not safe, that you can't trust yourself, others, or the world. And anger comes from the core belief of powerlessness, that you don't think you're powerful enough or that you have the power to affect any change or anything. So regardless of any emotion that you're experiencing, to be able to acknowledge it and then go, it's not real, it's very powerful, you know. Mm. So that's the first step in acknowledging your thoughts and feelings.
That certainly was a big area that came in through the questions, just with the whole rational mind interfering with intuition, and also the emotions, and actually being able to stay steady and centered when these emotions do flare up and potentially interfere with people's trusting in their intuition. So that's a really
exactly.
powerful point.
Exactly. So once you've acknowledged that your thoughts and feelings aren't real, and at the same time, just to reiterate, but when you can acknowledge that your thoughts and feelings aren't real, then you can be honest with yourself and acknowledge what you're actually experiencing. You know, I'll be honest, like, a lot of the time when I sit down with the intention to access my intuition, when I start out, my mind's telling me I'm not going to get anything. After 10 years, my mind can still tell me that crap. But I just acknowledge it and go, oh, okay, I'm having all this doubt and concern. Now, particularly because I do sessions for people, or, you know, facilitate hundreds of people, particularly when I'm tuning in and when the pressure's on, my mind's going, you're not going to do it, you're going to fail. I just acknowledge it. I just go, oh, okay, there's that thought again. There's that fear coming up again, you know.
So, okay, it certainly takes away the power of those thoughts and feelings.
Exactly what it does, and that's purpose of doing. I'm so glad you said that, Damien, because that's exactly what it does. It takes the power out of them.
Mm.
And so then that leads you to be able to go into the second step. So unless you can acknowledge that your thoughts and feelings aren't real and acknowledge whatever they are, you can't cross the threshold to the second step. And it is a threshold that you cross. And that is, the second step is to choose to be an innocence. And now, innocence is, to me, made up of two things. Innocence, firstly, is your ability to not know. And in other words, it's your ability to operate outside your thoughts and feelings, because your thoughts and feelings are literally everything that you know. It's basically the collection of all your experiences from the past. And innocence is your ability to not draw on your thoughts and feelings, your experiences from the past. It's your ability to be in the moment and accept that you don't know. And again, it's tricky to give people that profound experience in an explanation. You know, I really take people on this amazing journey during the initiation, where they really experience that they don't know. And the way that you can experience not knowing and going beyond what you know is another premise, and that premise is that we make it all up. And again, that can be a tough one for people to swallow as well, that everything that you know, you've made up. And you've just made it up and you've accepted it to be true. Again, see, it's like a premise. It's just everything that you've assumed to be true, you've accepted to be true because you've made it up.
Mm.
So that,
I love it.
That's a great way to realize that you don't know, because everything that you do know, you've made up. It's So fundamentally, everything is unknown, you know. You know, I've done some study years ago when I was working with Robert Kiyosaki. A lot of his work was based on Buckminster Fuller. And Buckminster Fuller was this amazing mathematician. A lot of people know of him now, scientist, architect, futurist. And he basically surmised that, and a lot of people can accept this to be true now, that 99.9% of the universe is invisible. So in other words, 99.9% of the universe we don't know. And there's only 0.1% of the universe, if we're lucky, we do know. And that's been, you know, confirmed by the movie What the Bleep recently, you know. So it's really powerful to, you know, to accept that everything that you know, you don't really know because you just made it up. But suddenly you can just, you can be in the unknown. And when you're in the unknown, you're in the mystery, you know. It's an exciting place to be. You're suddenly, you're no longer just, you're no longer looking through life through the filter of your thoughts and feelings. And that filter we call perception. You're suddenly, you're in life and life, you're a part of life. It's a, it becomes alive, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you, so you definitely see that with children as well. They're so full of life and they don't really know what's possible and what isn't.
Yeah. But, so that's the first part of innocence, is not knowing. The second part, again, which flows on from the first, is simply to observe the obvious. And observing the obvious is just whatever jumps out at you, you know. And it's a really profound state of mind, really, to be in, you know, state of awareness, like where you're just in this mystery of not knowing, and then suddenly you're just in life and you're just aware of whatever's going on around you, and everything suddenly takes on this fascinating, you know, presence, really, you know. Like when I lead people through this guided visualization and the initiation, I warn them. I say, you know, you're sitting here and you're going, oh, yeah, this carpet, you know, it's beige, it's got dirt on it, whatever. Suddenly they can go into innocence and be in the state of not knowing, and then you know, just observing what's obvious. Suddenly there's this, like, ecosystems and universes existing within the carpet, you know, because suddenly they're, like, aware of this microscopic world that exists. You know, it's like I lead people out into nature, and suddenly you see all this amazing myriad of world that's taking place around you, you know. So that's what I mean by about being in innocence. And in the process of, you know, the actual process of tuning in, when I've just acknowledged my thoughts and feelings and then I choose to be in innocence, basically what I do is, because I'm aware and I've had that experience of that state of mind, I just choose to receive that state of mind. And the way that I do that is I just imagine myself as I was when I was a young, innocent child. You know how you just mentioned that about children. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a three-year-old son, and, you know, I'd see him in innocence, and I just imagine, you know, my son Atlas in innocence. And then I even go as far to imagine myself as a three-year-old playing with him as a three-year-old, you know, and that just puts me straight into innocence.
Wow.
And see, that's, and straight away I use the word imagine in that, that's, you start to engage, you're even starting to engage your intuition here, because your intuition and your imagination are the same thing. And so by imagining yourself as this beautiful innocent child, or even thinking of someone that you know, or your own child in innocence, it puts you in that state of mind, you know. So that's the second step. First step, acknowledge your thoughts and feelings. Second step.
That's really good. The other thing with children as well, they seem to have so much more fun than most adults. So just bringing that sense of adventure and that sense of play into everything you do, can that alone can be literally transformative.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's
excellent.
So, third step. The third step is really cool, because once I'm in innocence, I assume now that I'm in the realm of my intuition. Again, it's just an assumption, because I left my thoughts and feelings behind, you know. If my thoughts and feelings come from my identity, if I'm in innocence, I must be in my soul now, you know. Again, it's just a premise. And so what I do next in the third step is that I embody an end result. And the thing is, your intuition, your soul loves end results, whereas your identity loves the process. In other words, your soul loves the question what, whereas your identity loves the question how. And your intuition is there to serve end results that you want in your life. And so it's really important now that you've stepped into innocence to establish the end result that you want clarity on. You know, in this instance, you're going to your intuition to get clarity on something. And see, I use my intuition to create end results for me all the time. And so this step's really vital to know, well, so what am I tuning into? What end result am I going for? What end result do I want clarity on? You know, so that's the third step. Not a lot more to say about that, you know, really, other than it's really vital because once you've established the end result, your intuition latches onto it, you know.
Yeah.
Because
and have you got
that's
some,
where magic is. William has this great expression that magic is real and it's in the end result. So it's really important to establish what you want in this third step.
And Darren, have you got an example that you could maybe share of a student or maybe in your own life where you've literally
sure.
just stood in that end result and fully
sure.
embodied it?
Well, it can be anything, you know. It could be as grand as your life's purpose, or it could be as something as day-to-day as, you know, what Joanna and I are going through at the moment, because now that Atlas is turning three, we've got to decide what school we want to put him in. And so rather than use pros and cons in our rational mind, an end result that we want is we want him to be in a school that really serves his heart, you know, preschool, school, whatever. And so that's an end result. You know, I've my end result could be, you know, so what's my true purpose in life, you know? It could be, you know, simply what are the things that I love? What does my heart love? Which I think is a really good end result to ask or question to ask, end result to go for when you're first starting out. Because I also work with the premise that your identity, your thoughts and feelings can't reveal what you really love. It's only your intuition and your heart and your soul that can reveal what you really love. So that's a great end result to go for, and it's one that I'm always asking myself because I always want to know, so what do I love? What do I love? Because that's what happens when you're living from your intuition. That's you orientate your life completely around what you love. So to me, it's the best question you can ask yourself. You know, Anthony Robbins has this great saying that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask yourself. And to me, that's the best question to ask. So if you don't know what you love, then that can be an end result. And in terms of the actual process, what I actually do, again, it's an imagination game again, is once I've established my end result, I then imagine in my mind's eye. And sometimes I can even actually write it out. And then what I do is I then imagine drawing a circle around it because circles are magical as well. And then what I do is I imagine then standing in that circle with my end result. That's the embodiment of the vision. You know, I've gone embody an end result. That's use your imagination, and circles are really good because they contain a space. So you imagine drawing a circle, then imagine stepping into that circle where your vision is, where your end result is, and you become one with it in your imagination. So that's the third step.
Yeah, I love that distinction you made there as well, Darren. Just finding what you love and actually moving away from the emotion and dropping into the soul. I just thought that's certainly probably one of the powerful things I'll take away so far. That's really
sure.
quite profound.
Yeah, you raise a good point, you know, because a lot of people confuse emotions with intuition. You know, you think you've got to get out of your head and you've got to get in your emotions, thinking that that's where you're, that's the seat of your intuition, but it's not, you know. Your emotions are your feelings, and they come from your identity. And that's where a lot of people can get unstuck with their intuition. Like there, I think there are a couple of questions there that are going, so how do I know it's really my intuition, not just some trick from my beliefs or a trick from my emotions, you know?
Mm.
And that's the thing. When you can assume that your thoughts and feelings / emotions aren't real, then you're not going to be railroaded by them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Great.
So
the fourth step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So the fourth step is, you know, once you've established your end result and you've embodied your end result, this is when you actually ask of your intuition to give you a symbol. In other words, you choose to receive a symbol. And symbolism is one of the first intuitive techniques that I teach people. And it's my personal favourite technique. You know, there's a whole kind of quiver of techniques that I teach over the course of a weekend and, you know, a year-long course. But symbol interpretation is the first one that I teach because it's a very effortless technique for people to get their minds around, you know, to get their hearts around, because your intuition loves symbolism. It loves metaphor. Mm. And so to choose to receive a symbol is a very powerful thing. And even just the whole choose to receive a symbol is when you've embodied that end result, I assume that I'm connected to my soul now. And so I'm effectively asking, even demanding of my soul to give me a symbol that will inform me of the end result that I want clarity on. And so that's it. And the main thing with receiving a symbol, which is really important, is to be open to receive anything and everything that comes to you at that point when you ask for one. And now some people go, oh yeah, but I got something before I acknowledge my thoughts and feelings. That may be the case, but just to keep the integrity of the process and to ensure that you're actually in the realm of your soul, it's really important to acknowledge your thoughts and feelings, go into innocence, embody the end result, and then choose to receive a symbol. And then literally whatever comes to you, accept, grab it. Even if it seems so ridiculous and mundane, you know, like I use the example, like as soon as you ask for a symbol, whatever becomes obvious to you after that, that's your symbol. Even if it's black fog on a black screen. You know, it's usually like in my workshops, people go, but I got nothing. I just got this blackness. And I went, that's your symbol. They go, oh.
Yeah.
Or I got a speck, or I got a dot, you know. Normally people get much more than that when they go through this process because it has so much integrity. But when you choose to get a symbol, it's quite often it can be quite elaborate, you know. It can be like this Technicolor movie scene, or it can be, you know, that dragon on a knight, or it could be a glass full of water that's pouring. It could be literally anything. And that's one of the things that I really love. For me, it's kind of like Christmas whenever I choose to receive a symbol, because it's like, ooh, you know, what's my intuition going to give me?
Mm.
Because I also assume that every symbol that comes is laced with gold. You know, it's like a treasure that's come from my soul of this amazing wisdom that my soul is going to share with me, you know, this higher part of myself that's connected to everything.
Yeah.
So that's the fourth step, is to choose to receive a symbol.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Darren, like one thing that I see quite often in people is that they may be actually fixated on or attached to a symbol showing up in a particular way.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was just wondering how, for someone who is looking for a confirmation but only looking for that confirmation in a very particular way, what sort of guidance would you give to them to sort of let go of that attachment and be more fully aware of what's going on?
It's a great question. I think that's where the second step comes in, of choosing to be in innocence, because when you're in innocence, again, you assume that you don't know anything. And so for me, innocence is great, because every time I choose to be in innocence, I just wipe the slate clean and just assume that I'm going in with a blank canvas, you know? And don't have any preconception about what you're going to have or any agendas of what there should be, you know. And you'll find that when you do, it's a much richer experience, you know.
Great, that's a great answer.
So that's the fourth step. And then the fifth step is, to me, it's my favourite step, because now that you've got your symbol, and what I also suggest, when you've got your symbol, is I suggest writing out what you get. Or if you're tuning in on your own, or if you're tuning in with someone else, actually share your symbol with them, because it's that part of that shamanic process of bringing back what you've got and grounding it. When you write it out, what you've got, whatever it is, it's suddenly here. Or if you share it, it's here, it's real now, you know, you're giving life to the symbol. And even in sharing the symbol, the gold and the treasure that's laced in it can start to become obvious to you. And then that leads on to the fifth step, which is observe what's obvious about your symbol and then make it up. You know, and it's the make it up thing that can blow people's minds as well. Because literally, it's like being an innocent. It's whatever jumps out at you about that symbol, whatever that is. And the thing is, it's whatever's obvious to you. It's not what's obvious to Jung's book of dream symbols, for instance, you know? Because it's your...
Okay, that's going to be refreshing for a lot of people.
Exactly. You know, it's entirely up to you. Whatever's obvious to you. You know, in an interview, similar interview I did with Bruce recently, I kind of used the example of a fork. You know, you could get a fork, and that fork could be what's obvious about that fork, or it could be something, an eating utensil, or it could be about nourishment, or it could be, you know, it could be a silver fork, so therefore it could be about really looking after yourself and your self-worth and taking care of yourself and that sort of stuff. Or it could be a devil's fork, which could be about, you know, being more playful, you know, bringing the dark side out more, or, you know, playing with your sexuality more or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's whatever's obvious to you about that symbol. And then you've just got to make it up. And it goes back to that premise that I said before when I was talking about innocence, is that we're making it all up anyway. And so this is the magic ingredient of intuition right here. Like every step that you've taken up to now, the first four steps, unless you can give yourself the freedom to make it up, it's not going to work for you. Because the more you make it up, the more it rings true. You know, and it's literally a free license. Excuse me if this insults anyone, but it's a free license to talk bullshit. To literally just talk crap. There's no one judging you. You can't make a mistake. And amazingly, this is what I love about it, amazingly, the more you can make it up, the more it rings true. It just resonates, you know. It's just like, wow, this really... And you end up getting the goal that you're looking for. You end up getting clarity on the end result that you want. It's just there in front of you, you know. Mm. You know, in the workshop, I do this great process where people just stand opposite each other and one person just makes up a story, and they've just got to make something up. And they take the story to a certain point, and they go, and then the other person has to take that story and make up a completely new story. And they take it to a point, and they go, and then they throw it over. And it's an exercise that a lot of actors do to get their impromptu skills up.
Yeah.
It's amazing how exciting it is when people are just given that free license just to make it up, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think, like,
it.
With
that's
the world, it's changing so rapidly anyway these days. So actually, to actually live and adapt and to deal with change, I think the whole premise of just making everything up as you go along is the only one that can really work long term.
Yeah, isn't that true?
Everything that we know is just changing so rapidly that it's almost impossible to hang on to anything.
Yeah, that's it. So they're the five steps. You know,
wow.
I think that, you know, just within those five steps, that you, can you see now why it kind of answers a lot of the questions that people had?
Yeah. It's very, very, literally, having read all the questions, just in terms of the philosophy and the thought that's gone behind those steps and the process really does incorporate such a fertile, diverse range of questions that you could ask in the field of intuition, and certainly that people did ask when signing up for the call. And I think you've done a phenomenal job of actually, even though we haven't answered questions specifically, but just really bringing out that richness in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one thing that's really important is that it kind of comes to some questions that people are asking about, you know, like, how can I use my intuition more in my daily life and so that I get through the fog of my thoughts or whatever, you know. The thing is, it all comes back to the fact that the assumption that you're already intuitive, and to literally give yourself the time, half an hour in the morning or the evening or whatever, to purposefully and very intentionally go through this process to access your intuition. You know, like most mornings, I won't do anything unless I've sat down and tuned in to the end results, the choices that I want to create, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a purposeful intention, is basically what I'm saying. And if you do that, say, at the beginning of the day, you watch how magical your day ends up becoming.
Yeah.
So just, I think that's just worthy of saying as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, Darren, I have no doubt there are people on the call who are literally just waiting for the opportunity to jump in and go a little deeper into the concepts that you've been sharing. And I know that you've got a workshop coming up, and I was just wondering if you could let people know a little bit more about how they can actually really get a more fuller experience of this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm running my first workshop in the UK. It's not my first ever workshop. You'll be happy to know. You're going to all be my guinea pigs. I'm running my first workshop in the UK in Brighton on the 11th to the 13th of July. It's all-day Friday, all-day Saturday, all-day Sunday event. And basically, this is a workshop that William Whitecloud and I developed. And it's basically the distillation of our year-long course. We've basically taken the best of what we've developed in our year-long course and put it into this three-day workshop. And basically, it really takes each of these five steps that I've talked about and really brings them to life. And so that, you know, one of the first end results is that people really get to experience how profoundly intuitive they are, you know, and get to receive some profound intuition from other people as well. And that's one of the things I love about this workshop is, you know, see so many people who, like me, didn't think they had an intuitive bone in their body to be walking out of there going, man, you know, not only am I intuitive, I've got this amazing technique to access it whenever I want. But to me, that's just the first layer of the workshop. The next layer is then, okay, now that you know you've got these five steps under your belt, you know how to access your intuition, then it's like, so what do you want? And so there's a big part of the workshop about helping you discover what it is that you love, because that's what intuition is there to serve. It's there to serve you living your soul agenda. And your soul agenda is creating what you love. And what you love more than anything else is to live as this divine, magnificent being that you truly are. You know, that's the purpose of intuition. And so it's about revealing that. Because otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Developing our intuition unless we can start using it to serve our soul's agenda. And then the third thing I do is, you know, one of the things we've developed over the last 10 years is this amazing manifesting and creating technique that literally wields the forces, this magical force of your intuition, and actually aligns the force of your identity. That it combines these forces to magically create everything that you love. Once you've established what you love, then we literally put this what we call this creative structure in place that literally compels the end results of what you love. And everything that I've created, everything that William's created over the last 10 years has been a result of just putting this in place. And it's a very simple but very profound technique. And so with those three things, it's a very thorough, very in-depth, very empowering workshop, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, I certainly, I cannot wait to go along. Like, I've loved certainly being on this call, and also all the discussions we've had leading up to the call about your philosophies on intuition. I'm certainly jumping out of my seat in anticipation of going on down to Brighton. Can't wait.
Just one more thing to say about that, Damien, is that you know, I'm really wanting to make it really affordable for people, this workshop.
Okay.
And so the full price is only £350, so that alone, I think, is extraordinary value. You know, once you come along and you experience it and you compare it to what else is out there, you'll go, man, that is just such good value for what you're getting. But what I've decided to do for everyone on the call is I had an early bird price of £250, which actually expired last Friday. And what I'm going to do is extend that price to the close of business tomorrow, so Friday the 20th. So if anyone wants to come along, I suggest that they just go to my website, darreneden.com, and register online for the early bird before the close of business tomorrow and lock that in. And having said that, you know, wherever you are in the world, if you're listening to this call and you want to, and you've obviously got a, an interest in your intuition and developing it, I really recommend coming along. You know, flights are so cheap these days. I've actually got 7 of my grads from Australia coming over to kind of not help facilitate it, but kind of, you know, help and participate in it. And they're just coming at their own expense because they love it so much and they want to be of service and get so much value for themselves. So wherever you are, you know, like, I really recommend just dropping whatever you're doing and coming along. You're just, it'll be a weekend that will transform your life, I promise you.
No, that really is such a small price to pay. It's almost actually a priceless thing to do in your life to access your and connect deeply with your soul and your soul's purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, one thing I was curious about, Darren, I was just wondering how you actually came up with the name, The Initiation, for the workshop.
Oh, great question. Well, it's very purposeful, actually, because it really is. This initial workshop, it's been constructed, you know, beautifully, you know, like William and I did it collaboratively and intuitively. And what it really does, its purpose is to initiate people into magic. It's to initiate people into crossing that threshold from living predominantly out of their identity and their thoughts and feelings to living out of their soul and their intuition. And it really is a magical threshold that you cross, and it's one that we set up throughout the weekend. So it's very purposeful in calling it that, because that's really the end result of the workshop, is to initiate people into magic.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Fantastic. It's a great name. Now, Darren, we're literally coming up to the hour, and
cool.
It's flown by, and I just wanted to take a moment just to really thank you, not only for sharing the last hour with us all, but for dedicating the last 10 years of your life to this stunning work.
Mm.
Like the profound insights that you've shared have literally can only have been done through the work of love. So I just really wanted to acknowledge you for sharing it, but also taking the time to develop this work.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure, let me tell you. Labour of love.
And I was just wondering, Darren, just in closing, did you have any final words to offer to people, just, I guess, who are seeking that deep connection with their intuitive knowing and looking to forge an intuitive way of life? I was just wondering if you had any final words of advice.
I reckon the final word to say about that is that is what's motivating you to access your intuition. And honestly, the best motivation you can have is to want to create a life around what you love, and just make your life, everything that you want in your life, let it be about what you love, because that's what your intuition will serve. And regardless, as I've even said on the website, regardless of the real or the illusory obstacles that come along the way, there's nothing worth living for more than what you love, because when you go down that path, you're establishing a connection with everything, you know, and the rewards are all there. If you want wealth, they're there. If you want love, they're there. If you want health, they're there. You know, and if you want a renewable, sustained future for our planet and for our next generations, that's the path to go down, you know. It's just to keep asking yourself the question, so what do I love? And then use your intuition to create it, you know. So that's to me, that's what it's all about.
Brilliant. That's a very powerful question. Okay, for people who didn't get the details, you can book onto Darren's workshop through DarrenEden.com. And if you wanted to drop Darren an email, the email address is info@DarrenEden.com. And the early bird price is available until close of business tomorrow, Friday. Hopefully you will make the decision to come along. I'll certainly be there, and I can't wait to get into it. So thanks once again, Darren.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Damien, and thank you for setting this up. I really honour you. You know, it's such service to everyone. You know, and if it wasn't for you going for what you love, you know, none of us would be here listening to this, you know. So I really honour you as well.
Cool. It's it is without doubt a work of love for me. I absolutely love it. I feel very privileged to be able to hold this space, and I feel it's a total blessing. And yeah, thank you to everyone as well who sent in their questions. I hope you've found what you're looking for through the call, and we look forward to having you on a call soon. Thanks again, Darren.
Love and magic to everyone.
Okay, take care.
See you, mate.